This is Sound Ideas. I'm Charlie Schlenker. For more than 30 years, Michael Jeffords and Susan Post have circled the globe chronicling in both print and photography some of the natural world's most fascinating creatures and plants. The married couple are insect experts and field biologists who worked for many years at the Illinois Natural History Survey in Champaign. In their latest book, Curious Encounters with the Natural World, they share stories of their up-close experiences with sex-driven dragonflies, baby stink bugs, glad-handling penguins, opportunistic baboons, lady slipper orchids, and cypress tree-studded swamps. Jeffords and Post tell GLT's Judy Valente their thirst for knowledge about the natural world began early in their lives when Post was growing up in central Illinois and Jeffords on Illinois' southern tip.
Well, I grew up in far southern Illinois on the Ohio River, and that was my playground, essentially. And from the age of about 7 years old, I was interested in nature and fossils. And then at 9 years old, I discovered a cecropia moth, and I was forever hooked on entomology.
Insects.
Insects, yes.
Sue, you grew up in central Illinois.
That's right. I grew up about 20 minutes from here, 20 miles, in a small town called Mackinac. My interest in the outdoor world, natural world, probably started when I wanted to join 4-H. In that time, there was a girls' club and a boys' club. I really wanted to join the boys' club. And to do that, you had to have boy-type projects. My mom looked up the roster of things. We didn't have any kind of animals. She said, "I think entomology'd be good for you." My first response was, "Ooh, bugs,
yuck. Yes.
Ooh." But I had an insect collection then for the next 12 years.
Now, you have been to the Falkland Islands, you've been to Africa, you've been to Australia, and yet in your book, Curious Encounters with the Natural World, many of the photographs and the essays that accompany them are about wildlife or plant life right here in Illinois. How much of the book is about Illinois?
Actually, about 50%, because this is where we spend most of our time, and we travel extensively throughout Illinois.
So many people, as you note in your book, denigrate Illinois and don't think it's a very interesting state for the natural world. You say that's absolutely not true.
Oh, Illinois is an incredibly long state. In far southern Illinois, we have the swamps, much like Louisiana. And if you go all the way up to northern Illinois, both Lake County or Joe Davies County, you'll encounter bogs or plants that are more familiar with cold areas. So you have this huge melting pot of organisms, of plants, animals, things that you can find and look for. Illinois has over 54,000 different species. And we have over 100 different plant communities or habitats.
Mike, tell me about some of the curious, quote-unquote, to quote your book, encounters you had with either wildlife or plant life in Illinois, or insect life.
Well, I think one of the most interesting is kind of a window into a world that no one sees, and that is one day I walked into my office, and right by my door on the linoleum was a little red dot about the size of a dime, so I looked at it, and it was kind of moving around, so I got my 8x macro lens and photographed it, and it was clover mites that have come in to spend the winter. And I showed the photo to my colleagues, and they're like, "Ooh, you're photographing carpet, you know, it looked like shag carpet." And I said, "No, this is a part of the natural world that we never see."
It almost looked like red lace, that picture of mites that you took.
10 people will look at a photo, and you get 10 different opinions on what it is, none of which are usually right, but that's okay.
Sue, what about you? What was one of your most memorable Illinois encounters?
We call it at the chapter Hackberry Happenings. Hackberries are a small butterfly, and they're not very charismatic. They're gray, brownish. Michael and I were just talking. We said, you know, if they were a bright orange color, everybody would be clamoring to see them.
Like the monarchs.
Like the monarchs in Mexico. But early June around Sandridge State Forest, if you were to cruise the roads there and go to some of the sand ponds, you'll encounter hundreds, thousands of these butterflies. You walk up to them and you can just hear them fluttering in your face. They'll land on your arms because they're looking for those minerals from your sweat. And so you'll have butterflies kind of walking on you, like sucking your sweat. It's just a really interesting experience.
One of the things that struck me about your book, and you have the photographs and you have these essays or reflections, if you will, to accompany them, is that you're not always looking for something specific. You come upon things, but your openness, it's that curiosity that you carry with you that enables you then to have this experience. How do you do that? How does the average person do that?
Sue and I were both trained classically as biologists, which means we took a lot of different courses, you know, and observation was an extremely important part of it. And we're pretty much interested in everything involving the natural world and so forth. So, and we also were collectors of objects. We live in a house that most people would call a cabinet of curiosities because it's got so much what we think is interesting stuff in it. So collection is part of our blood and part of our psyche, and this is just another form of collection, I guess.
How do you keep that openness, though, Sue, to seeing these things? If you're not open to it, you're not going to see it.
When we go out, I mean, we're always looking. I always carry my trusty 3x5 notebook. And when I teach classes about nature journaling or observation, I always say, first, write down where you are, write the date, and then just look. Just start listing things you're seeing. And pretty soon, after you start listing them, you're looking closer. You're like, well, I see this butterfly. What is it doing? Why is it here? And then that just leads to more questions, more discovery.
In a spiritual way, it's almost like living more intentionally, more contemplatively.
It could be said that. And I also like to think, though, because I'm an entomologist, I'm always looking for the small things. Most insects are pretty tiny, so you're always looking, searching, maybe look more closely at things.
What about plant life? You've come across some very interesting plant life, even here in Illinois.
When Michael and I first started going out taking pictures, right after we got married, we were going to see as many orchids as we could. So our honeymoon was sort of centered around, let's look for orchids. And two of the essays in the book, Mr. Jackman's Bog and also Grandma's Bog, talk about places where we met interesting people that had orchids. Both of those places are no longer here. So that's...
Why is that?
Mr. Jackman's Bog has been incorporated into part of Indiana Dunes National Lakeshore. And Grandma's Bog, I believe they sold it to developers. But kids were not interested in the property.
So the orchids are no longer there at Grandma's Bog, but possibly at Mr. Jackman's.
At Mr. Jackman's Bog, yes, they're still there. Michael and I just happened to visit the area about a month ago, and the pink lady slippers were still blooming. Mr. Jackman's Bog, the really interesting part is under lock and key, and so you have to have a special guide to go in now and see it.
One thing I wanted to see more of in the book, perhaps, was your interactions with animals. I had an experience of my own just about a week ago where a doe and a fawn came up to my porch, and they were literally just standing there looking at me, and I'm looking at them, and we're eye to eye. It was just such a moment of intimacy with these deer. Did you have anything like that with wildlife, much wilder than deer, say?
I think in the Falkland Islands, I had several different experiences. The Falklands are very wild. When you go there, you just roam around and the wildlife isn't afraid of you. One of the islands we went to had several different penguin colonies, especially the rockhopper penguins, and you could just sit there and you would observe them and watch them, and these birds are so curious that they would come up to you and they'd be looking at you like, what are you doing? And if you made any kind of movement, you could like even touch them. And it was a wonderful experience.
What have you learned about the natural world? We tend to think of animals as them, as other, and insects as pests. But what did you learn from having these type of more intimate experiences with the natural and the wild world?
All life on this planet is a continuum. And it's the only planet in the whole universe that we know that actually has life on it. So we see it as a continuation of ourselves. And that's one of the reasons we do what we do, is we go to a place, we try to document as much of the biodiversity as we can in writing and photography and, you know, on whatever medium we can do. And we've also found out that it's important because it's declining everywhere. There's no such thing as a place that's better than it used to be.
Life, plant life, animal life.
Plant life, animal life, habitats, you name it. It's all on a downward slope. We call them damping sine waves, which means it fluctuates, but it's getting lower and, you know, just like a voice, kind of trailing away. And our goal is to see as much of this and document as much and show it to people, because if they don't see it, it doesn't exist. And if it doesn't exist, then they don't care.
So what can people do in their own little corner of the earth if so much is disappearing of plant life, insect life, animal life?
Well, you need to educate yourself. We have several programs. You have Master Naturalist, Master Gardener. So you need to educate yourself as to what might be there. What might I see? You just need to go out and explore. Join organizations to help conserve these areas. You have here, you have Prairie Parklands, you have Fugit Woods. You have some really nice areas where you could go see this and interact with other people that are also like-minded, that are trying to save this, try to see things.
Mike, last word.
Organisms cannot prepare for political decisions, and political decisions seldom involve organisms. So we need to be careful who we vote for. We need to hold our people accountable. We should be electing intelligent, well-rounded people that have a diverse view of the landscape and of the world, not just, you know, how much money can we make, or how many jobs can we create, or how much of this or how much of that. In the last 10 years in elections, I don't think I've heard nature mentioned once in any campaign I've ever heard, and that's sad.
Michael Jeffords and Sue Post, you are the authors of Curious Encounters with the Natural World, From Grumpy Spiders to Hidden Tigers. Thanks so much for talking about your book.
Thank you.
I'm Judy Valente.